it's the return of Manny Pacquiao. Again, Sunday Puncher Podcast. We are back with the second episode of the week. Got a little out of hand yesterday, so we're going to have to do another one. And this one is all about the Manny Pacquiao pay-per-view. The return of the Filipino Slugger. I can't remember any of Jim Lampley's other pet names for Manny Pacquiao. So, do you remember when, I think it was the Hatton fight, where they called him a Filipino typhoon? And, like, at the time, there was a really bad storm in the Philippines, and it was just kind of like, maybe you shouldn't have called him that.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but that's funny. I perfectly believe it. I'm reminded of comments Lampley made during Barrera's fight with Prince Nassim Ahmed. I mean, he's not been known for subtlety or tact over the course of his career.
Same with Sky. They were clowning Tevin Farmer when he fought. Who did he fight? I don't think it was that fight because that one was on Dazen. It was on a Sky fight, and they were talking about, look at the eyes, they're menacing or something like that. And it's like, just say he's got a lazy eye. Come on. Like, he's never met somebody with that.
I'm reminded about the classic Macho Man Randy Savage comment about Zeus back when he was in the WWF, that he's when you need someone who doesn't just have your back, but someone who can have your back and look over both shoulders at the same time. I think I butchered that, but you get the meaning.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sky not always the best with that stuff. Lampley a little worse even. Anyway,
well,
we can
maybe
move on.
You know, who knows? Maybe it's a little different in the UK and like. It's not considered offensive or whatever, but certainly it would be here. Let's talk about this pay-per-view. So, Manny Pacquiao will defend the WBA welterweight title, which he won from Lucas Matisse, this Saturday on Showtime pay-per-view against Adrian, as he likes to call him, Broner. And this will be the first time Manny Pacquiao is fighting in America in quite a while. Now, we'll start off this conversation by placing ourselves next Sunday. Put yourself in next Sunday's position. You're sitting there. You've just woken up. You'll reminisce about the fight that just happened. What do you think will be the story of the fight that you'll, like, the talking point, the lingering thing that you're thinking about, the fight that just unfolded? What would that be?
I'm going to punt on this question a little bit. I have no hard prediction on this fight at all, which makes it hard to say that comment. I feel like fans on Reddit are going to be frustrated with the outcome regardless and feel defensive about the outcome. And I think casual fans are going to be pretty happy with the outcome of the fight, regardless of what happens. I don't know. Where do you see it going? What do you see the narrative being the next day?
Well, this kind of reveals my prediction for the fight, or how I feel about the fight is going to go. But I think the most likely story of the fight, quote unquote, Max Kellerman, TM, that we will discuss is the false confidence that Manny Pacquiao will now have. I think in one way to look at it, you can look at a win for Manny Pacquiao as the return of Pacquiao and a return to his greatness, which, you know, he's great. Or at least he was great. But I think it'll be the false confidence that a win over Adrian Broner actually mean something. Now, it does mean something, like Manny Pacquiao can still go, etc., etc., but I think a win over Adrian Broner does not predict success against Errol Spence or Keith Thurman. And should Manny Pacquiao have a false confidence, and maybe his fans as well, that he's ready for that fight, this could end badly. And I'm talking like badly in the sense of like Adonis Stevenson badly. You know, we're looking at an aging fighter in Manny Pacquiao, who there's a fine line to walk where you still have the ability to make a lot of money from his fights while also keeping him competitive. And I don't think that a fight with Thurman or Spence, assuming Thurman is Thurman, okay? Thurman could very well not be Thurman, given the injuries that he sustained. But specifically with Spence, you know, you don't want to have that false confidence. And I think the other story, and why it's so predictable that I think Manny Pacquiao wins, is because his strength is Adrian Broner's weakness. We know Broner's, like, the thing that we've talked about his entire career is that he doesn't throw a lot of punches. And Manny Pacquiao is an aggressive guy who likes to bring the fight, and he will be active. And just that alone has Pacquiao at, I believe, a large or a sizable advantage over him.
I think so. Do you think a Broner victory will mean much more to anyone than the Matisse victory? And that's kind of a loaded question, but I don't know. I mean, it's such a moving target. Like, I feel like so much of the fan base Pacquiao has had in that hardcore support, you know, Filipinos and other, you know, also more casual boxing fans in the United States, I feel like so much of that has just gone away. I don't think he's really going to, like, reclaim that with a Broner win. I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's big enough, like, it will still mean something whatever he does after this. You know, it will mean a lot if Broner beats him. It will mean a lot for him in terms of rejuvenating his career if he does win. I mean, I think of, like, Chavez Jr. fighting Canelo and doing a million pay-per-view buys. But I don't know. I mean, how do you view this win versus the Matisse win? Like, because I feel like if there are delusional Pacquiao fans who think he's a world beater, the Matisse fight might have been enough, and they probably don't like Broner anyway. I mean, do you think it brings him more than that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Matisse fight had a lot more potential than it actually showed, and I think the reason for that is because Top Rank and ESPN really blew it with that fight. They used that fight as leverage to convince people to sign up for ESPN+, but what they essentially did is they buried a fight that had a lot of casual appeal on a service that nobody really had at the time or was interested in signing up. Even at a $4.99 price point, I don't think they saw a sizable gain to the fact that they would have kept Manny Pacquiao. So that's partly why I do think, and look, this is all speculation, but, like, what is the overlap here between Matisse fans, Pacquiao fans, Broner fans, and then casual fans? Like, where do they all fall? And I think, given the platform of fighting on pay-per-view, and I've said this in the past, that, you know, pay-per-view is criticized a lot by fans. And we both know that, and we can defend whether pay-per-view's worthwhile or not. You know, that's whatever. But there's something special about fighting on pay-per-view. There's a different aura a fight gets when it's on pay-per-view. And whether it's deserved or not, you can agree or disagree whether a fight should be on pay-per-view all you want. But fights are covered differently from the mainstream press because of the fact that they're on pay-per-view. Now, you and I both know, and you listening probably know, like, oh, that doesn't deserve that. Crawford versus, what's his name? Postal.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have been on pay-per-view. Yeah, but it got covered a little differently. And so this Broner fight is amplified, I believe, and magnified because of the platform that they've gotten, because it's on pay-per-view, but also Fox has done its fair share of putting it in a position to be hyped up. Not, you know, not as much because it's not a Fox pay-per-view, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. So I think if there was a fight, also, I think there's a lot of crossover between Pacquiao Matisse fans. I think they're basically in the same camp. But Broner brings in a much different demographic, a much different fan base. It's like this is the meeting of the two sides of the boxing world coming together. And that's why I think this fight has potential to be way bigger than that Matisse fight. And obviously, that fight was on ESPN+. Like, of course, this is going to be way bigger.
Oh, no question. I mean, I agree with that as far as the business side. I mean, yeah, Broner, exactly. Broner has a different audience. It, he's a lot more relevant than Matisse, who had a very suspicious win in his prior fight, you know, to that. Yeah, I just meant in terms of really, like, rejuvenating Pacquiao's career, because it's really like, who are they aiming for? You know, I don't think neither Broner nor Pacquiao, I don't think anyone's going to be convinced that they would be in the top 10 pound for pound after this fight. I don't think anyone's going to be convinced that they're number one at welterweight. I mean, there are super delusional Pacquiao fans, they probably thought he was number one anyway. you know, because they don't think he lost to Horn, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. But anyway.
He did lose to Horn.
Yeah, I did score Pacquiao beating Horn, by the way. We sort of, I've sort of trolled that outcome a little bit in the past, but yeah, I did have him beating Horn. Do you want to move on to the next topic or more on that first one still?
I mean, unless you have some more to say about that. I think the takeaway is that Pacquiao Broner is bigger than Pacquiao Matisse. And
well, it's a pretty low bar, but yeah, I think it's a it's a substantial fight. I think it will be very interesting to see how it does. Yeah. I mean, the reaction of the sub so far has not been huge.
Well,
you know,
let me ask you this.
But
what about
I feel like there's
gifts?
Strong casual fan appeal.
This is like what does this have to do with anything? But you post a lot of GIFs. I don't know how many you've posted for this fight, but have you noticed like a difference in the numbers that the GIFs are doing from other fights?
I'll know more as the week goes on. So like I haven't really gotten fully into gear, but I'll say from some of the stuff that I've posted on Facebook already. My initial comment is limited interest on Reddit boxing, which is not super surprising, like less than you might expect, because it's hardcore people who know that, again, they're not pound for pound fighters anymore. But on Facebook, surprising amount of support for Broner, especially surprised me the amount of support that he's gotten from, again, it's like ultra casual fans,
right?
Like people who, you know, we, you know, it's like thinking of the Reddit audience, thinking of like the people who are on the Discord and probably the Sunday Puncher listeners. Like we frequently forget that those people exist, that there is that casual level of fan who we don't really have a connection to. And, you know, like I posted, the first clip I posted was Broner against Jason Litzau. And
great
like
fight.
People were posting like, well, I mean, well, that's a whole other thing we can get into later about Broner's early career. But, people were posting, you know, unironically, that's what Broner is going to do to Pacquiao. I don't think anyone, any rational person thinks that. I mean, whatever is going to happen, it's not
Are
like
you kidding.
No connection between those two things. But yeah, it's, you know, anyway.
I think you should post that. You should find, I don't know how we're going to do this because I think we both only speak English well. We should find more of a like a Filipino boxing group and post that clip and see what the response is. Because I'm pretty sure nobody's going to say, yeah, that's what Broner's going to do to Pacquiao this weekend. Unless, you know, there's somebody who's like hate follows that group. Also, I'm not on Facebook. I'm like, I really hate Facebook's like, to me, it's very difficult to like find things. So, but that like makes me laugh so much.
Just a very quick digression about that. I mean, it's always hilarious to see the comments on Facebook because we do stuff that's like Spanish language, Russian language as well. Not that much anymore because I'm sort of on a limited time schedule with having a little Jermol running around the house. Well, he's not running yet, and his name's not Jermol, but that doesn't really matter. But anyway,
we named him.
Yeah, so I haven't gotten as aggressive with that, but it's always funny to see because again, it's just like the demographic on Reddit boxing. You know, we sometimes are too insulated in that, you know, it's like, it's so funny to see the level of shit posts that are on Facebook, which are so, because people, all of those people would have gotten banned a long time ago on Reddit. And yet the, like the cesspool of Facebook, you just get to see such a different audience.
Okay,
and again, having like the Russian content and Spanish content, it's like, you just see so many different sides of these things that you weren't expecting, but yeah, we can move on.
Okay. And don't call Facebook a cesspool. That's mean. What happens, do you think, what happens if Adrian Broner does what I believe he's not going to do, but he beats Manny Pacquiao? What happens?
Well, it would be hilarious if he fought Floyd. I had joked in the show notes that it would be really funny if Khan ended up fighting the winner of this fight instead of Crawford, because you would think in every way that would be a better fight, but it looks like that was finalized you know, just in time that can't happen, which I think almost certainly must have factored into why he's getting paid so much for that fight, because otherwise he would have had a very, very appealing option with these guys. So anyway, I think it will be interesting. I mean, I think it will like redeem Broner's career. I mean, even though it shouldn't, because Pacquiao was so old and so faded, but I think you'd have to say it would really fulfill his promise. I think he'll probably fight similar level of opponents that he has. You know, he might continue fighting at his catch weight of 144. I don't think it really makes him a pay-per-view guy unless they decide to throw him in with the Wolves. I think a Mayweather fight is generally possible, but yeah, I think it'll kind of rejuvenate him again. Speaking of Broner having that casual fan base, that lots of, Reddit boxing people are blind to, I think it will definitely rejuvenate that. I don't know. I'm curious to see where you'll take this question.
Yeah, I mean, I bring that up a lot, that Broner, fighters like Broner are way more popular than you think. I mean, it's almost like, okay, look at his Showtime numbers, look at his HBO numbers, they're really good. Where do you, like, are those flukes? No, the guy's actually popular, but then if you get into these bubbles on the internet, whether you're on Twitter or Reddit, and people will lead you to believe that Broner is not very popular. And it's like, no, dude, open your eyes. You're not privy to the groups that Broner's popular in. But just because Broner's not very popular, like, say, on Reddit, that doesn't mean he isn't popular on the whole. But specifically, if Broner beats Pacquiao, I think this is way more interesting than if Pacquiao beats him. Because Broner, if he wins, he's in position to fight the top guys. But I don't think that Broner's going to beat any of them. Like, we've already seen him fight Sean Porter. He lost. If Thurman is Thurman, he beats Broner. If Danny Garcia probably even beats Broner. But, like, Broner winning is, I believe, a more... actually, how I want to say this is, like, if Broner beats Pacquiao, this has an impact on Errol Spence, because we know that Spence isn't going to fight Thurman after his fight with Mikey, and he's not going to fight Terrence Crawford either. So what happens to Spence? Well, if the plan is to make Spence into a bona fide pay-per-view draw, and if he beats Mikey the way we all expect him to, then what happens next for him? Well, then very likely he fights Broner, who's coming off of a pay-per-view fight, and Spence now has to live with the fact that, okay, you beat up a blown-up lightweight, and now you're beating up another blown-up lightweight whose weight fluctuates anywhere from 135 to 147. I mean, actually, Broner hasn't been at 135 in a really long time. That's probably not fair to say anymore. But Broner's, like, we know that Broner should be fighting at 140. It's probably his best weight for him. But that's two fights in a row where Spence is fighting a smaller guy. And that starts to tip the scales over in Crawford's favor. And one thing that's pretty interesting is that Spence, when I did a survey on the sub, and do you know that Spence is, like, I asked a question, which fighter do you like more, Spence or Crawford? Crawford, like, won that. And it was by...
That's really interesting, actually.
Not by a significant margin, but it was something, it was close to 60-40. So Spence could see his leverage slip a lot in the event that Broner loses. At least Pacquiao is like seen as a legitimate.
You're, wow, you're playing some four-dimensional chess here. Yeah, I don't. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean, I think there's, you know, in terms of, is there more money in the PBC side? Is there more money in sort of just boxing? I think there's definite. I'm definitely not saying you're wrong, but I would say my take is definitely more so with Pacquiao. I mean, I think Pacquiao Mayweather, you know, again, as much as Reddit boxing people might turn up their nose, I mean, that's a mega, mega money fight still. You know, Sugar Ray Leonard fights with Roberto Duran and Thomas Hearns, each at, you know, very, very late stages of their respective careers. That fight, again, huge money still. I think Pacquiao versus Spence or Thurman would be a pay-per-view, and I think mm-hmm. Pacquiao would take those fights based on getting probably somewhere above you know, somewhere in the some amount of an eight-figure, you know, probably more than 10 million, less than 20 million for either of those fights. So I think, like, you know, he would do that. I mean, I think Pacquiao is in the YOLO stage of his career. You know, I don't think he wanted to fight Terrence Crawford at a time when it was not favorable to him, but I think at this point, you know, he could make good money for either of those fights, and I think he would take them. Broner, on the other hand, you know, it's just we've seen him look so bad. I really think, you know, I was saying to start with, what's the reaction afterwards? We talk about the casual audience. Yes, that's part of it. But I think if Pacquiao loses to Broner, it will be seen by the world of boxing as just being a final humiliation for Pacquiao on his way out of the sport. I don't think it will really boost Broner that much. Again, I think it will rejuvenate him with his, you know, casual audience, and he can probably do the similar types of fights that he had done before, but, you know, boosted, like maybe 50% more business. But I don't think it's going to transform him at this stage of his career into it. I don't think it's going to replace the stardom of Pacquiao. I think Pacquiao versus Mayweather, Thurman, or Spence are much, much bigger fights than Broner versus any of those guys. Because again, it's like Broner's had a lot of questionable performances, and he got, you know, kind of blanked by Porter. So despite getting scoring that knockdown that looked very nice in the last round, you know, basically got blanked. Whereas Thurman, you know, had a fantastic fight, competitive fight, but beat Porter. You know, it's like you compare those two things. I don't think Broner really credibly slots in there.
No, I think the story's been out on Broner. We kind of talked about this yesterday. Like, when we were discussing the Crawford and Khan pay-per-view, but, like, Broner's last few years haven't been great, you know? But Broner has transformed himself into a draw. And what I mean by that is, like, it seems like it doesn't matter what happens in his fights. People just want to tune in to see him fight. You know, the last few years, if we go back 3 years, you know, he's fought Molina, he's fought Porter, he fought Alec Verdiev, he fought Theofane, he fought Granados, Garcia, and Jesse Vargas. And every one of those fights did good numbers. And it seems like it doesn't matter. Like, he fights Mikey Garcia and loses. And, I mean, everyone knew that was going to happen, except for you, I guess. And unless you were trolling. But Jesse Vargas, that fight did, I think it even did better numbers than the Mikey fight.
I think it did, oddly, yeah.
And, like, it's like, what is Broner? Like, how is he able to do this? And obviously, being able to talk people into the building counts for a lot. I think nobody's really talked about this, and I think this is interesting. Jesse Garcia gave Manny Pacquiao one hell of a fight. And that fight was, I thought, was a really close fight. Manny Pacquiao knocked Jesse Vargas down, and that almost was the difference in that fight. Jesse Vargas was constantly tagging Pacquiao with the right hand. And Vargas gave Broner a really tough fight, too, and that was close. And so while I think that this is probably going to be an easy win for Pacquiao, you know, if we do a little triangle theory, maybe not. Maybe Broner has the style that will give back Pacquiao hell. You know, he's a counterpuncher who sits down on his punches. Maybe. I'm not super convinced by that, but at least it's an underreported storyline. But, man, a win for Manny Pacquiao, I think, at this point in his career. So, like, we have our take, and I think our takes are pretty similar, and if you're listening to this, it's probably similar as well, which is like, well, you know, you're beating Adrian Broner at this stage in Manny Pacquiao's career, we know, blah, blah, blah. But for thinking about the casual perspective, like over on Facebook, beating Adrian Broner, it might elevate Pacquiao, because one of the things that people conflate with being good at boxing is being popular. And beating another popular fighter could elevate Manny Pacquiao super high, in that there's actually a demand for him fighting Mayweather again. And I don't think, like, this, like, Manny Pacquiao's next fight is going to be on pay-per-view if he wins this fight, no doubt about it. And it just is all a matter of who is it going to be. I'd really like to see him fight Thurman if Thurman wins. I think that's a better fight for Pacquiao than Spence. I think Spence is, Spence is not a good fight for Pacquiao. And I like Pacquiao, so I really don't want to see him get into a fight with Spence.
Yeah, I mean, all I can say is I agree. It will be very interesting to see that. I mean, you know, go back to the original question, or the question that started, you know, what's going to be the reaction the next day? I mean, let's say the most likely thing happens. Pacquiao wins the decision over Broner. It will be, because, you know, it at that point becomes, you know, what's next? And it's never about one fight. It's about a whole weight class. And, you know, then you suddenly have Pacquiao at Cowboys Stadium for Spence Garcia. You know, You have Thurman getting asked about Pacquiao during the promotion for his fight, which, by the way, is coming up the following weekend. You know, so it just starts to make the whole mix very interesting if he's in it again. There are a lot of potential opponents, and I'm sure Pacquiao is going to have his pick. I mean, he could fight Danny Garcia next, you know?
Poor Danny.
Very interesting.
Danny's had two losses in his career that he could have won. Like, one
Danny?
More round.
Well, he only has one on paper. Or two, excuse me. Yeah, never mind. Yeah. Thurman and, excuse me. Sorry.
But, like,
go on,
he
go
wins
on.
One more round in those fights, and, like, very, like, he could conceivably be undefeated still. And then,
yeah, I guess I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I scored him winning the Porter fight, but I think the Thurman fight. I mean, judges had it close, but I mean that really was a Thurman win. But anyway,
it was close, is what I'm saying. I had a Porter winning the fight with Garcia. Anyway, this isn't the Thurman Porter Garcia podcast. This is let's get on to our next question. When
sure.
did you first hear about Manny Pacquiao, and what was the first fight of his that you saw?
Sure. So I mean, I have a fun answer for this, which is, like, I got into boxing right around the time Pacquiao was coming onto the scene. So I started to become interested in boxing in the fall of 2003. The first thing I remember reading when I was checking out ESPN's boxing coverage was it was the day, you know, it was surrounding the Pacquiao Barrera fight and the outcome of that people were saying, like, oh my God, you know, this guy who just came onto the scene blew out this Mexican legend, or, you know, didn't blow him out, but, you know, very convincingly beat up and stopped this Mexican legend. And it was funny, I mean, because the internet was different back in those days. So I actually wasn't able to watch the fight until a few months after that. But it's been interesting following his rise. You know, I was sort of learning about the sport at the same time as I was following him. He wasn't the guy. My guy then was Diego Corrales, actually, but I was still interested in Pacquiao. And, you know, he had this legendary fights at that time with Juan Manuel Marquez and Eric Morales. So yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. I really, like, when I think of Pacquiao's career, the things that I have the strongest and fondest memories about are his days at featherweight, which get forgotten by most mainstream fans who seem to think of his welterweight days as really the prime of his career. What about you?
Well, I'm younger than you, so I remember hearing about Pacquiao. So I was basically raised with boxing, but I never followed it that closely. Like, I was just, like, kind of like a hostage to the situation, where if that was on TV, well, then I guess I was watching that. And the first time I remember hearing about Pacquiao, I believe, was in 2008. The only boxer that I really, like, knew a lot about was Floyd Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya at the time, because obviously those were the most popular fighters. And I watched a lot of pay-per-views. And when he was being discussed as an opponent for Oscar De La Hoya, that's when I started to, like, who is this guy? And so I didn't watch that fight. I think I wanted to watch that fight, but I had to work that night. And then back then wasn't smart enough to figure out how to watch a fight after the fact on the internet. And then the first fight I watched of him was Ricky Hatton. And I remember trolling at work, who, you know, I'd never even heard of Manny Pacquiao, saying, like, oh yeah, he's you know, because I think, I don't know about your experience, whether you or the listener, but Manny Pacquiao wasn't liked for some reason around the people that I spoke about, probably because the people I was talking to were Mexican, and if you put two and two together, maybe there wasn't, like, a strong liking of Manny Pacquiao. But I kept saying Manny Pacquiao would knock out Ricky Hatton. And then everyone starts to like Manny Pacquiao after that. So the next fight, I started trolling and saying that Miguel Cotto was going to knock out Manny Pacquiao. And then it was history from there, where I was like, okay, I actually like this guy. And I stopped really, like, trolling people about Manny Pacquiao until he fought Tim Bradley.
That is funny. Next question, I think.
The next question is, what about Broner?
Oh no. Well, I'm going to take it in a slightly different direction because so the, you know, because I have a very relevant follow-up to what you were just talking about. So the
Sure.
next one was where do you stand on the Pacquiao PED issue? And I can take that one first if you'd prefer.
Well, let's hear what you have to say.
Sure. So it's funny, you know, when you say you know, speaking of Pacquiao Cotto, because like I consider Pacquiao Cotto to be the time I stopped being a Manny Pacquiao fan. And it was because at the time, and I'm just going to get raw. I mean, this is my opinion. I'm not claiming to know any facts about this. This is just my opinion based on, you know, what I've observed. But in the aftermath of Pacquiao Cotto, it just seemed transparent to me that Pacquiao was what was happening with his body was not natural. And I have a very specific memory of watching Pacquiao Cotto. I was in Las Vegas on a business trip, so I came in a few days early so I could be there the weekend before to watch the fight. I was not able to get reasonable tickets for the event, but I did go to a closed circuit, which I'm sure lots of you have heard of closed circuit boxing matches. This is the only closed circuit boxing match I ever went to. So I was in a room with about 1,000 people watching Cotto Pacquiao on projected screens. They had four different projected screens each quarter of the room. And I just remember by the end of it, you know, just being like having watched this guy at 126 and then seeing him, you know, speaking of like really 2004 was when I started watching him, 2003 was when I first heard of him. And watching now 5 years later in 2009, just with a completely different body, just, you know, like he had put a suit of muscles on top of his existing, you know, it's like his face looked different, his bones looked different. I mean, it just did not feel right, you know, and there were so many things that came out just a little bit after that about, you know, the mysterious milkshakes from Alex Ariza, him supposedly being afraid of needles and therefore refused drug testing. I mean, it just was a farce to me. You know, it was seeing a guy at featherweight performing the way that he could, and then suddenly he was all the way up at welterweight dominating a Cotto, who is known to be a physical fighter. It did not follow rules that you know, his body did not follow rules that the same rules as every other fighter in the sport that I had ever observed. So, it really, really took me out of his story. And I mean, it's sort of funny because after that, you know, he had the win over Ricky Hatton, which was a huge knockout win. Excuse me, that was the fight before, sorry. But after that, it sort of dropped off a little bit. You know, that was actually his last stoppage until the Lucas Matisse fight, which is kind of crazy to go through his box rec. But you know, it was funny. I mean, that was in a lot of ways the peak of Pacquiao fever, and it sort of started tapering off in the eyes of the public, going the distance with Claudy. You know, Margarito fight was crazy in its own way. Mosley was seen as being past it at that point. You know. And then, of course, the loss to Bradley, which was undeserved, but then the KO loss to Marquez, and you know, it's just been kind of on a slow decline since then. But regarding the PED issue, it's just, you know, if I'm being very honest, I can't view his career without saying that, which is, you know, he got, you know, a boost that other fighters did not get, or at least his body responded to differently. I mean, it just feels like Barry Bonds, where there's just no reasonable person can look at the evidence or even just, you know, pictures of them from different times and say that this didn't happen. So it's hard for me to reconcile that though. I mean, I was a very big fan of him right when I was coming into the sport, and it really just, I don't know, you know, it's too much to say betrayed because I'm just a dumb boxing fan, you know, watching him on TV. I don't have any personal, you know, I don't have any skin
Yeah,
in the
you're a
game.
jabroni.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it's been interesting to see how things have followed since then. I mean, I'm interested in seeing what happens with his career now, but almost more just as a chess piece, a financial chess piece in the sport than about him personally. You know, he's now well past the point where he should have retired. I mean, this is getting on a little bit of a different topic, but well past the point where he should have retired. You know, I think he might still be good enough to beat Broner. Like I said, I think the most likely outcome is that he'll win a decision, but I don't know. It's been a very weird ride watching Pacquiao for literally as long as I've been following the sport. I don't know. I know that's a hot topic, so I definitely
you
wouldn't
know
forgive
me.
You if you want to punt, but
do not accuse anyone of anything. Now, you brought up some interesting points. I think one of the big red flags about Manny Pacquiao's career is, and look, there's certainly red flags of all shades, but if we're going to look at the darkest, reddest, brightest red color flag that we can think of, it's that Manny or Freddie Roach himself says that he was suspicious. And look, that's fine, except I'm not aware of any way to consume a PED through like a milkshake. Now, I've never done PEDs before. I don't know about PEDs. I would love to try some and like as an experiment. Like if Snack wanted to say that we're like our system works and is clean, I will take like a 60-day whatever thing. I'll do all the training that they tell me to do and then go get tested afterward and we'll see what's up. And was like, I would totally be down to do that, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know where I was going with that. The point is, oh yeah, the milkshakes or whatever that Alex Ariza was giving Manny Pacquiao. Let me play devil's advocate on one small thing, and that is that Manny Pacquiao had this long string of knockouts and stoppages and blah blah blah. And I'm of the mindset that a lot of those stoppages were the result of speed and not brute strength, which I think sometimes unfairly is attributed to knockouts. You think, oh, it's because he's stronger, but no, it's like speed and catching guys when they aren't expecting it. And Manny Pacquiao's whirlwind offense that shocked Juan Manuel Marquez to the point that he dropped him several times in the opening round of their first fight. I believe that's a big thing, reason why Manny Pacquiao had the success that he had. Now, I'm also not stupid, so I'm not going to just say Manny Pacquiao, totally innocent, blah, blah, blah. And then, I guess this is going to help your case, actually. But no. I think if we look at Manny Pacquiao's box rec and look at his streak of knockouts and how that sort of just left and he went into a different phase of his career, there are... I have an explanation for that. Two explanations for that, actually. Number one, he moved up in weight. Number two, he moved up in weight, and maybe he's fighting bigger guys who could take the punches that guys in the lighter weight classes weren't able to do. But number two, one of the reasons why I believe Manny Pacquiao struggled more at welterweight, not because his lack of power, speed, or anything, but I believe that Manny Pacquiao changed as a fighter. He left behind the reckless style. He left behind a lot of what had him have success over guys like Barrera and David Diaz and other guys like that. He left behind that style and developed a more traditional style where he boxed behind a jab and it wasn't just, you know, just wild throwing hooks with the other guy. I think that had a lot to do with the fact that his knockouts dropped off because he became easier to counter. He became easier to deal with because he fought in a more conventional style that fighters were prepared to defend against. I'm only coming up with an explanation for why the knockout stopped, because you could use that as evidence in saying, well, he must have gotten off the sauce, right? Because all of a sudden that power seemed to disappear. However, I'm ignoring your initial point, which is, well, what about the start of that? What about the transformation of his body? Where did that come from? I have no explanation for that. But I'm dealing with the cause and the effect, right? Like I'm explaining maybe the effect, not the cause. And I don't know what that is. I wouldn't accuse Manny Pacquiao. Does it look suspicious? Is your case good? Sure. Were there whispers in the sport, or in some regards, like just blatant accusations from Paulie Malignaggi about Manny Pacquiao? Yes, there were. However, you know, It reminds me of the whole Willie Monroe thing, because Manny Pacquiao, or it's like Manny Pacquiao was working with Alex Ariza, and I don't think anybody with him has popped, but like you have Victor Conte, who it's like, dude, you're suspect based off of your past, and then one of your fighters pops, even though you're over here trying to say that you're cleaned and turned over a new leaf in the sport of boxing, but like your dude just popped, and like you're trying to distance himself. I don't know. Do you have any response to what I've said?
I mean, not really. I mean, that's the thing. It's like you don't move up that many weight classes still blowing people out, and then, you know, just mysteriously that just stops. Right? I mean, it just, I don't know. I think I've said what I have to say about it. It's just we've danced around the issue a little bit over the years, and I felt it was okay to bring it up. I know I'm potentially going to bring a lot of heat onto myself, but I'm okay with that. I just feel like as we get to the end of Pacquiao's career, it's worth reflecting on that.
It's a tough issue. I'm not going to accuse anybody because we don't have enough evidence. You have circumstantial evidence based off of your interpretation of how he looks and how he fights and the result of his fights, but that's not real evidence to accuse anyone. And Alex Ariza, I don't believe has had anyone test positive, so you can't even use that like the way you could with somebody.
I'm pretty sure Brandon Rios was training with him when he
tested,
popped, ironically, for the Pacquiao fight. But yeah, that was like stimulants and not like steroids.
I'm okay with that. Like, I give him a pass.
Do as much speed as you want.
Yeah, like... Oh God, that whole situation was ridiculous. Like, they collected my pits in a styrofoam cup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to. I mean, that's just some of the stupidest things I've ever seen in boxing. But yeah.
But seriously, like, nobody's gonna fault Brandon Rios for taking a PED. Like, come on, he had no chance against Manny Pacquiao. Let's talk about the undercard. Badu Jack will be on the undercard. He'll be fighting Marcus Brown, and do you think that Marcus Brown is catching Badu Jack at the perfect time?
Let's go. Can we talk about Broner's early career a little bit?
Oh, I tried to talk about that, but you were like, oh, no.
Just you had brought up Cotto, so I wanted to get into the PED topic.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about Broner's early career. We can talk about him.
Sure. Why don't you start on this one?
Well,
I can start if you'd prefer.
The first time I heard about Adrian Broner, he was fighting on like the untelevised undercards of HBO, and I believe they started to show little highlights of Adrian Broner, and then he shows up on HBO, looks phenomenal. They start to compare him to Floyd. I never saw it. There was an aggressiveness about him that Floyd did, even early Floyd didn't have. Like, just Broner was a different type of fighter. The comparison to Floyd, I think, was always a lazy one. You know, yeah, Broner's black and he tries to fight defensively like Floyd, but there's not a lot that's the same between the two of them, and making that comparison, I think, was dumb. But and it really set up Adrian Broner to fail. Like, Broner being compared to Floyd, that was like the worst thing that they could have done as far as building him into a star that people liked. Now, doesn't matter, because Broner wound up doing a bunch of things that make people not like him, and that continues to this day. But I've watched every single one of his fights since he was televised, and you know, I basically see what, or have always felt the same way about Broner, which is that he's got a lot of talent, but he's not a great fighter. He's a good fighter, but he's just not a great fighter, and he'll never be. You know, his ceiling is at that B plus level. Never going to be an A. He just doesn't have, I don't know what it is, like maybe the work rate for it. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, so Broner, the reason why I put this on the show notes in this way, I mean, I was kind of a lapsed fan circa like 2012-ish. Like, I sort of started, I'd, you know, gone from being a really hardcore fan watching boxing every weekend, and I'd kind of gotten out of the sport, and I started to get into it again right around the time Adrian Broner was coming up. And he was one of the guys that was getting me excited about the sport. Like, I had seen, I think the Eloy Perez fight, you know, some HBO fight was the first fight I saw of him. And,
he beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, oh, I've never heard of this guy. He's just a prospect. Next fight, though, fought Vicente Escobedo. Fight after that fought Antonio DeMarco.
Who tested positive for cocaine.
I didn't know that. Or I'd forgotten that. But yeah, and like both those guys had just been around for a long time. Like, even though I was kind of a lapsed fan, I'd seen them both fight a bunch of times, and Antonio DeMarco had lost to Edwin Valero. But I mean, besides that, had just been, very durable. Again, same thing, Vicente Escobedo had previously been a prospect, and Broner absolutely walked through them and did look like a superstar. And yeah, as you said, I mean, HBO was going hard on the Floyd Mayweather comparison. I mean, when they want to get behind a prospect, I mean, they go all out. And, he definitely was their guy of that moment. And it was exciting. But, then out of nowhere, for no clear reason, he decided to go up all the way to 147. He fought one more fight at 135 against Gavin Reese, also blew him out, goes up to 147. Looked like you would expect when a lightweight jumps two weight classes against Paulie Malignaggi. I mean, I scored him clearly beating Paulie Malignaggi, but he seemed diminished. He, like, his output, which already, even in his dominant days, was not amazing, was even worse because he was carrying around extra weight. He did not have the same sensational power. Next fight, he fought Marcos Maidana, where I remember thinking, like, why on earth is this fight happening? Like, Maidana had, a mixed resume at that point. I mean, he already had three losses, but it just seemed like a strange fight for Broner to take, having just moved up and having not really looked super strong against Pacquiao. Then sure enough, problem solved, as they said. And he took that loss. I mean, it's been funny following Broner since then. I've always been a fan of him. I find just, in terms of covering the sport, his personality is fun. Also, I feel like he's been kind of underrated by a lot of hardcore boxing fans. Like, as we've said, it's like he's both sort of overrated and underrated. He's overrated by these casual fans, which a lot of hardcore boxing fans don't even know exist, but hardcore boxing fans who just say he's a bum, that's missing the script also. Like, Broner's been fighting at the world-class level really for most of his career. He's never really gotten off that level. He just at times has not looked unbelievable, but he's still been basically at the level of winning world titles. When you talk about some fighters like Terry Flanagan, like, that's the best they ever look, or Luke Campbell, who might never win a title, like, Broner has been fighting above that line even at his worst moments. But once he got above 135, he didn't have those same physical advantages. His work rate was not high enough, and he was to some extent figured out and really stopped developing as a fighter. Maidana solved the problem, not just in terms of, his physicality at 147, but because, Broner would fight in that sort of poor man's shoulder role, and he was very susceptible to overhand rights by Maidana. I mean, he got opened up. His defense got torn apart in that fight. And again, it wasn't just because of size. So I don't know. It's still a fan of Broner. It's hard not to like him. I know some people, find it easy to hate him, but I always found him kind of a lovable heel. And I will say I'm probably going to be rooting for him deep down on Saturday night. I don't think he'll be able to pull it through, but it does become an interesting question, though. I mean, you have this guy who fights since moving up, even when he's been back down at 140, has been kind of at the level of world title, has sort of been right at the bar of the world title level. It is kind of a moving target to see how far Pacquiao has fallen. Like you said, beat Jesse Vargas, dropped him, but took a lot of punishment in that fight, a lot of right hands. Like, I scored him beating Jeff Horn. But, I mean, that's a fight where, any of the other titleists at 147 would have blown out Jeff Horn. He looked terrible earlier in his career, and he's looked terrible since then. So Pacquiao has fallen so much. I mean, if Broner ended up winning decision, I don't know. I wouldn't be that surprised. I would consider it a very mild upset. And like you said, with his punching power, he's the only fighter to knock down Sean Porter, which he did at 147. I guess technically that was a catchweight, but anyway, at welterweight. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, it would be sad for Pacquiao and his supporters, but could we see a repeat of the Juan Manuel Marquez fight? I don't know. That's interesting.
I don't think so. I don't think Broner, like the Marquez knockout of Pacquiao, people, you know, I think maybe they sleep on this, but like that was so calculated. That was the, we don't see this so often in boxing. One other example you brought up was the Maidana Broner fight, where boxing isn't as easy to see. Like in the NFL, you can see like, okay, the Rams clearly had a plan at stopping Ezekiel Elliott, and they forced the Cowboys to do whatever they did. And it's obvious, you can see like that game planning, and the credit goes to the coaches and the staff for coming up with that. Boxing, we don't see that too much. Maybe it's less obvious to see that. But I think there, one other example you could point to is like Linares took away a lot of what Lomachenko was trying to do in that fight. Now, he ultimately lost the fight, but you could see the game plan being executed. And Maidana's overhand rights, as you said, against Broner, that was a really clear example. I guess maybe it's only clear when it's super successful that leads to a knockout, but when it leads to a dominating victory, you know, you don't, we're not going to give Caleb Plant's corner a ton of credit for what he did to Uzcategui when it's possible that they deserve it, but whatever. I don't see that kind of game planning coming from Broner, and I think it's especially hard to see when you have a low output counterpuncher in the way that Broner does. If he comes in and lands an overhand right, which we believe was, I think is the game plan to beat Pacquiao, landing that overhand right, maybe, but I definitely don't see something like that happening. I one of the things I think we should talk about specifically in regards to the fight is like, how do you actually see it playing out?
One quick second on the Marquez thing. I mean, and why I don't see that happening in this fight. I mean, one, that was, I think, tactically, very specifically planned by Marquez. I mean, you know, it's been much posted. There was a clip from his training camp where he landed the exact same punch on a sparring partner. And then just in terms of the way the fight played out, you know, Pacquiao had been hurt, buzzed in the fight, had buzzed Marquez and was going into the kill. So he going in for the kill and he was being hyper aggressive. I think it's extremely unlikely that Pacquiao is going to reach that gear in this fight. I think he'll be able to win the fight on activity without reaching that level of aggression. So what was the next question? Wondering how this fight is going to play out.
See it playing out.
Interesting question. I mean, I feel like it is going to play out similarly to the Mikey Garcia fight. Which is actually kind of funny because, like, I have Mikey Garcia in the middle of my pound-for-pound top 10. I think you probably do also, which is kind of funny when you think of Broner, like, and people both overrating him and underrating him, because it's like, yeah, he got beaten decisively by Mikey Garcia, but he didn't get knocked out. There were minutes of that fight at a time that he was winning. He did win exchanges at times, you know. It wasn't like he was completely blown out in the way that Mikey Garcia really blows out lower level guys. I mean, Broner has continued to show that, again, not good enough to be in the pound for pound top 10 at this point, but, you know, does have some talent. So anyway, regarding Pacquiao, that is, though, despite having just argued against myself, I think Pacquiao probably still has enough left to put in some level of a performance like that. I think Pacquiao physically larger than Mikey Garcia, although probably not the same in terms of technical talent or physical talent at this stage, with his body being the age that it is. But I think he's going to be, even with the big age disadvantage, more active than Broner. And I think technically probably a step ahead as well. I think his, you know, southpaw power punching, I think he's going to be winning rounds, both through activity and tactically. I think Broner definitely could have success in spots. I could definitely see this being a very competitive fight. It just feels like the deck is stacked in Pacquiao's favor. I think, again, it's like, even with the huge age disadvantage, I think the activity is really just going to prevent Broner from coming through with a victory. What about you?
I think Manny Pacquiao is going to win this. It's not going to be the most inspiring fight. Manny Pacquiao is going to win this because he's going to do more each round than Adrian Broner. I think we might have one of those fights where the best highlights are of Broner's punches. And that's what happens when you have a counterpuncher who's going to be given a lot of opportunities. At some point, they're going to land good shots. And Pacquiao's reckless enough that he's going to fall into those traps. And that's not to say that he's not good. He's just reckless. And Broner's going to look to capitalize on those things. And we'll have a close fight, not super close, where we'll say like, oh, you know, Broner could have won this or Pacquiao could have won this. It'll be a close fight, 7-5 probably for Manny Pacquiao. I don't think Pacquiao's as you said, as skilled as Mikey Garcia to like clearly school Broner, but I think it'll be close enough. My hope is that this looks like the Vargas fight where the winner doesn't matter because they just put on a war and everyone leaves happy. I mean, in this event where you have a pay-per-view that a lot of people think maybe shouldn't be a pay-per-view, the best thing you want to do is give people a fight that they're happy to have paid for. And that's what I really want to see. I don't necessarily think that's how it's going to go. But I think, as I said earlier, the story of the fight is going to be, well, Pacquiao did what he does and Broner did what he does, which is Pacquiao threw a lot, Broner threw a little bit. And because of that, Pacquiao was able to win the fight, but it wasn't like, oh, Pacquiao tactically or just was so much more skilled than Broner, which is what you walk away with when you watch Mikey Garcia beat up on Broner. Just a different way of beating him. And then we start talking about their next fights. Anything else you want to say?
I think I'm finally ready to move on from Pacquiao Broner.
Okay, so we have Marcus Brown fighting Badu Jack on the undercard. And as I said earlier, we want to discuss whether or not Marcus Brown is fighting Badu Jack at the perfect time.
For Marcus Brown.
Yeah.
sorry, I anyway. Okay, so I'll go, I guess. I've thought about this fight a lot over the last few years, probably more than anyone in America or just anyone in the world outside of their camps. I'm a big Badu Jack fan. Marcus Brown has been on my radar screen since the 2012 Olympics, part of the same class as Jojo Diaz and Errol Spence. They fought on a lot of the same undercards together. He's a guy who, you know, talked a lot on yesterday's episodes about young prospects and what type of talent you see at different levels of opponents. And I mean, he is a guy who definitely has, you know, the speed and power. When he's fighting lower level guys, he can just absolutely destroy them. Again, he's also fighting at light heavyweight, so, you know, that power really shows up. But he's shown some limitations, shown some lack of confidence, had a fight that he arguably lost on the Spence Algieri undercard that's been much discussed. Meanwhile, Badu Jack, yes, he's definitely getting up there in years. Badu Jack has never excelled in one area, but since coming back from that one shock knockout loss when he was a prospect, he's really developed well as a pro, shown himself to be very talented, very good body puncher, has a lot of good should-be victories on his record, and I say because some of those fights are draws in the record books. I think, you know, there's a way of looking at this that Marcus Brown, right in his physical prime, Badu Jack getting older, looked vulnerable once again in the Donna Stevenson fight, getting hurt to the body, that Marcus Brown might be just the right time, might be another case of very recent example of that Callum Smith versus George Groves, where it was just the exact right time for Callum Smith to win that fight. I'm going to say I still don't really feel that way. I think Marcus Brown is a guy who I think, you know, speaking of why I'm skeptical about prospects, I think he's a guy who looks great against that lower level, hasn't really shown what it takes to be, you know, successful at the world-class level, whereas that is where Badu Jack has excelled, if not in the former, definitely in the latter. I think Badu Jack is going to stick it out. I think Marcus Brown is dangerous enough that it'd still be competitive. I could see Badu Jack fighting somewhat cautiously like he did in the early part of the Adonis Stevenson fight, but I think he's going to pull it through. How do you see it going?
So you're a no.
Is this the right time for Marcus Brown to get in there? No, I think maybe even 5 years more it would take for Marcus Brown's pure physicality to take over when speaking of, yeah, Batu Jack's potential physical decline.
Okay. Well, I've said it for a while that light heavyweight is one of the more interesting divisions in boxing because it features a lot of guys at the top who we recognize as very good champions, etc., etc. Let's rewind maybe 3 months so we can include Adonis Stevenson in this. Maybe we need to rewind a little more to go to Sergey Kovalev. Maybe a year ago, we had Kovalev, Stevenson, Badu Jack. We have these guys in the division who we related to as the top guys. But the reality was, we could throw in the Sullivan Barreras and the John Pascals, all these guys that were still at the top. Now, Pascal, I get it, okay? But they're all old. And as time goes on, whether... doesn't matter if you're good or not, time will beat you. And we're seeing that in the last several months. We've seen Sergey Kovalev, you know, he already lost to Andre Ward, but I think everyone gives him a pass for that because Andre Ward is Andre Ward. And Kovalev got knocked out by Eliezer Alvarez, a younger fighter. Adonis Stevenson gets blown out by Oleksandr Vozdek, a younger fighter. We saw Sullivan Barrera, a guy who we thought was a really good contender at light heavyweight, certainly one of the toughest gatekeepers in all of boxing, get demolished by Dimitri Bivol. We see John Pascal, who somehow was still at the top. Bivol ended that. And so that leaves us with Badu Jack, 35 years old, the last old guy in the division. Well, Marcus Brown is 28. And I believe this is the perfect time for Marcus Brown to have to be fighting Badu Jack. Just with the way the wind is blowing, it seems like this is the perfect time for Marcus Brown to fight Badu Jack because a loss is due for Badu Jack. And we all love Badu Jack, and that's fair. Badu Jack is a great guy, deserves as much of the love that he gets from fans, you know, because of his charitable contributions, the fact that he's just a pretty nice guy. I mean, if you see him in public, he does not come off as like a nice guy, but he really is. He just did an AMA with the subreddit. Jack is a cool guy. But Marcus Brown is young, and age doesn't care how cool you are, how good you are. It will win in the end. So as far as, is this the perfect time for Marcus Brown to take this fight? Yes, absolutely. Badu Jack is right for the picking at this moment. Now, the question is, we have the perfect time. Is Marcus Brown good enough to take advantage of it? And I don't think he is. I like Marcus Brown. He's a nice guy.
Oh, that's quite a twist. Okay.
I've talked with Marcus Brown on Skype before. And he's a nice guy. But, well, you know, you could point to, you know, maybe his law encounter in the past 2 years or whatever. And maybe,
yeah,
like,
maybe
well,
not everyone
not
in his
nice.
Personal life would. Yeah, exactly.
But to be fair, you know, I wasn't in a relationship with him. So, you know, I didn't have that experience, but whatever. But I don't think Marcus Brown is that good. I don't think that he's going to be able to... basically, the only shot I'm giving him in this fight is that he can catch Jack. And we've seen that Jack can go down. He's vulnerable. But I think as far as, is he the complete package? I don't think so. I think Marcus Brown is like 80% of a good fighter. Or not a good fighter, but of a great fighter. 80% of that. Which means that he's going to go far. And I think against a weaker fighter, he will beat him. I think he beats Barrera, but at this point, Badu Jack, I think, still has enough left that Marcus Brown could win this. And the reason why I bring this up, because, you know, when you got an old fighter and a young fighter, frequently, I've said this in the past, that guys meet each other on the way down and on the way up. And a lot of times, it's for a promoter, it's about timing that at just the right that right time where... it's close enough that the guy on his way down still is going to give a rub to the guy on the way up, but also not be so great as they once were that they beat your young guy on the rise. And this, I believe Badu Jack is, it's the perfect time, but I don't think Jack is that bad, and I don't think Brown is that good. I think the numbers make sense, but I don't see this going that way. Do you have a response to that?
I mean,
because I know you agree with me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really disagree. I'm just trying to think if I have more to say about this fight in general. I think I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's gotten buried to some extent on the undercard, for better or worse. You know, it's always a debate of, you know, is it better to have the bigger fight on the undercard, or people just buying the pay-per-view for the main event? I don't know. I mean, I'm happy about it. I mean, like the Mayweather, or no, not Mayweather, the Wilder Fury pay-per-view undercard was not great. So, I mean, I'm definitely, in terms of the evening, I'm very much looking forward to this fight and happy there's another substantial fight. Yeah, I really can't wait. Yeah, no question.
Just because I think there's a high potential that I'm wrong about it. You know, you don't hear this often on podcasts, I don't think. But I think on Sunday morning, I could be totally wrong about what I've said. And I think maybe there's a good potential that Marcus Brown is young enough and explosive enough or whatever that he beats Badu Jack. But I mean, that's not how I feel personally right now, but I think the potential for that is what makes this so interesting. And Marcus Brown, it has been a guy that's toiled away at that level. Like, he's not progressed in like 3 years. He's fought at the exact same level. And I mean, we beat like, I can't even say his name. Cadizade or whatever. Kajize. He fought Thomas Williams, the top dog. And then who else has he fought? Like, nobody?
Right. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I just consider him a guy who's really not that proven at the world level and has shown some issues with the level he has fought at. You know, sometimes, like, we just saw Caleb Plant's fight over the weekend. You know, he's a guy who hadn't really been that tested and really rose to the occasion. My hunch is that Brown probably won't, but yeah. Well, if he comes out on top, won't be super surprised. It's just not the way I'm picking it. I will say, as one other final thought, it's interesting how the fortunes have changed in the division over the last few months. So I think news from between when we recorded yesterday and now is, I'm forgetting his name. Light heavyweight, who's now going to fight on ESPN.
So Beterbiev is going to ESPN.
Beterbiev, yeah.
Bivol is going to Dazen.
At least for his next fight. I don't think we really have news of a long term, but, you know, Kovalev, Alvarez is going to be on ESPN. You know, Vozdik now has that win over Stevenson, so another of those titles is over there. So, you know, ESPN now has quite a nice collection of guys, whereas win or lose, I mean, whoever wins this fight, neither Brown nor Jack really has much to do. You know, they might even have to go over to ESPN to take a fight, which both said they would potentially do. You know, that actually came up during the conference call, that they said, you know, because this is not for a title, that they would be willing to go where they need to go to get a title. So,
well they see. Got El Bialy, you know.
Well, also, I guess they have that.
Bivol's deal is a co-promotional deal, so it's very likely that it's more than one. One fight, and it's a deal not just with Bivol, but with his promoter. So that promoter's fighters are going to get featured on Matchroom USA cards, which we're seeing happen what I thought would happen, which is that the smaller promoters are going to have to latch on to the bigger promoters who have these broadcasting deals in order to get time now, because there's nobody else is. Like, there's no way to get a deal anymore. And if they're going to offer, like, a deal, you get one, you get all, I think any promoter is going to jump on that for the exposure. Just want to note that. Yeah, light heavyweight, it's crazy how many turns light heavyweight has gone. We went from PBC was the king or specifically Showtime was, like, where it was at light heavyweight, to, oh, Dazen looks like it's going to have a hold on light heavyweight now. And now ESPN is the one that holds all the cards, basically. Just fascinating 12 months that we've gone through in regards to how things have played out in the light heavyweight division.
Yeah, crazy.
Rashi Warren will fight Nordin Ubali on the undercard. And I want to actually go in a little different direction here.
Sure.
Let me see if I can find the tweet here. I just saw a tweet from a writer I'm not going to name, because I just thought it was a really stupid tweet. The tweet was, what are the reasons why a Rashi Warren doesn't get the same love and attention and buzz and bucks as 147s, 160s, and heavies. Because he's 118 pounds. Like, full stop.
Who said that? I don't know why. I want to look up the tweet.
I'll tell you after.
Sure, that's fine.
But I just thought that was really dumb. Like, oh, we're going to ask the most obvious question. Like, any casual fan could answer that pretty, like, well. But anyway, Ubali beat Rashi Warren at the Olympics. So the question is, will it go any different? And look, I think I speak for both of us when I say, and maybe a lot of the listeners, that our exposure to Nordin Ubali is close to nothing. So what I think, it's hard to answer that question with some, like, you know, Marcus Brown versus Badu Jack, that's a hard question to answer. And this one is way harder than that. And I think at a minimum, I'm at least looking forward to this fight because Rashi Warren rarely puts on fights that aren't entertaining. It doesn't look like it when you watch him, but like the dude is always putting on good fights. And so at the very least, I'm expecting we see a good fight here. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I'm not going to claim to know much about his opponent. I know you said they fought in the Olympics, or, you know, they fought anyway as amateurs. I don't know. Warren, I'll say he's had some entertaining fights, but I really just don't believe in him as like a really world-class level guy. I mean, granted, the lower weight classes have so many fewer fighters in them than higher weight classes. They really just, given the decreased level of competitiveness, it's like, yeah, could he pick up another belt at some point? Maybe. I mean, he's already won a belt, but I don't know. I sort of lost interest in his career. I mean, it's also, you know, he had those two, speaking of entertaining fights, he had those pretty good fights with Juan Carlos Payano, who then got knocked out by Inoue in one punch. So I'll just say, I mean, compared to other people in the division I could be excited about, he is not the one I am most excited about. But yeah, if it's another entertaining card on the undercard, if it's, you know, another entertaining fight on the undercard, it's not like I'm going to skip it, you know? I'll see what happens.
And if this was a great
fight, give
it
a chance,
it would be like in a better spot than the second fight, on the fight after the curtain jerker on a Manny Pacquiao or on a pay per view card.
I actually missed a curtain jerker.
Yeah, you don't know what that is?
I do not.
The curtain jerker is the opening.
Oh, okay.
Come on,
brother.
That's
what that means.
You don't know this? Come on. You're not a real worker. Jack Tabora versus Hugo Ruiz will be the curtain jerker. You have any thoughts about this one?
I don't know who either of them is. Please fill me in.
Well, I only know Hugo Ruiz. Hugo Ruiz fought Julio Ceja on Showtime, and they had that wild, like, first-round knockout, and then they had a really good rematch. So that's how I know Hugo Ruiz. He's been around for a while. I don't know Jack Tipora. By the way, Manny Pacquiao joining PBC is very similar to that World of Boxing and DAZN co-promotional thing, where Manny Pacquiao's fighters are, and they will continue to be fighting. Like, a lot of these guys will be PBC prospects now coming up, and Jack Tipora is one of those guys. I don't know anything
about
him.
Yeah, I did notice that he's from the Philippines, and yeah, a Manny Pacquiao Promotions fighter, so, or seems to be anyway, you know, based on being from the Philippines. So, yeah, I don't really know if he's a guy worth paying attention to. I think what I said in the show notes is just, PBC has a lot of guys at 126. If they have another guy at 126 who fits into that mix, all the better. You know, Santa Cruz needs opponents. Gary Russell needs opponents. So, okay. You know, I don't know a lot about it, but I'm willing to be open-minded about it. That's all I can really say.
Yep. And then that is the whole card. Any other things you want to talk about from the card?
I don't think so. I mean, so here's a question. One, are you buying it? And two, do you see it as it being a hard decision? Because I feel like this card has gotten lot of flack for being a pay-per-view. So I feel like we should at least address that.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it. And here's why. I like Manny Pacquiao. Full stop. You know what's funny is, like, I've been pegged as like this hater of Manny Pacquiao because I just speak the truth, I guess. You know, I'm not gonna shill for him on the sub. I'm not gonna defend things that don't need defending. I defend things that do, you know, when he beat Jeff Horn and didn't get the decision, and people are trying to rewrite history and say, oh, you know, he didn't do blah blah blah, which I totally disagree with. But I like Manny Pacquiao, and so yeah, I'm gonna buy it. What about you?
To me, it's an easy buy. Like, I get why people would criticize the fight. Neither guy is in the top 10 pound for pound. Pacquiao is well past his prime. And Broner, you know, he had a pretty entertaining draw in his last fight. But it's not like this is any particularly impressive moment in his career where you would think, like, oh, wow, it makes so much sense for them to do this matchup now. You know, it's not like either guy is on, like, a huge streak. I mean, I guess Pacquiao has his first knockout since 2009, so congratulations for him. But I don't know. I just, like, I've been looking forward to this specific matchup for a while. It is the interesting element of the meeting of the two worlds. Like, that is a big part of the appeal for me, that you're seeing these two universes collide. It is very important to the mix at 147, at least financially, if not heavily in terms of the rankings. I mean, you know, whoever wins this is going to hold a huge piece of the pie at 147. So
whoever wins this would be the A side against Spence, I think.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I think that, yeah, I think the purse split would definitely be in their favor, and deservedly so. So it's interesting.
Whoever wins this is the top draw at welterweight. That's hilarious to think about. I mean, if it's Manny Pacquiao, I believe Pacquiao should already be the top draw at welterweight right now. But if Broner wins, I think that puts him as the top draw at welterweight. Isn't that crazy?
It is. It's hard to believe we're even saying that, you know, this many years later. But I think it's true. And, you know, again, that's a huge thing. Like, for Thurman or Pacquiao or whoever fights him, I would definitely pick either of them to beat him. You know, that would then be the biggest win of their career in terms of, you know, fans, at least, even if not in terms of really fans, in terms of significance, but in terms of building their fan base and their marketability, definitely, you know. So, yeah. I'm going to buy it. I don't consider it a hard decision, but I totally get why people would poo-poo the fight. Again, this is not, you know, this is not like a match between top 5 pound for pounders at all. I'm not going to claim that. No. Any other thoughts?
Nope. I got no other thoughts. I'm excited for the card. I think if you want some more content, there's more podcasts coming this week, shorter ones, certainly, on the Patreon feed. You can always subscribe to that. Any other things we need to plug this week? Upvote Tom's gifts. We want to see, watch them. We're trying to measure if Tom's gifts have any bearing on how fights do. We should go back and we really need to put a spreadsheet together and see if there's a correlation between GIF views or streamable views or whatever the hell you're posting and ratings. And then we may be able to package this and create our own little consulting firm.
Well, I'll just say very quickly, you know, I'm going to respond more seriously than I should to that. But yeah, this week I did not go all out. But some of the weeks when I have gone on all out, I mean, I've gotten way more views on my GIFs than the combined totals of like the actual social media departments of these companies like HBO or Showtime.
Oh, look at Tom cutting a little baby face promo right here.
That is thanks to all of the great readers of Reddit Boxing who like to click on those links. So there you go. Anyway, I think we're good, right?
It's such a little baby face promo. You know you just cut one.
Speaking of that, oh, I do want to just follow up on two very quick things. Oh, are we still on?
We are. You?
Okay, so Caleb Plant, a little bit of follow-up. Very good ratings for his show.
Yep.
Peaked at 986,000 viewers, more than doubling the previous record. PBC on FS1, which is very interesting that PBC and Fox are really treating these FS1 shows now as a more premium product and really, you know, as comparable to, say, like what ESPN is doing. And that would be one of the best, you know, that's right up there with the very best ESPN. I think if you take out Crawford and Lomachenko, I mean, that's,
yep.
You know,
well, I'll be doing a full breakdown of that.
Yeah, and on the premium, but I at least wanted to touch on it. I was going to say, as a related thing, you know, speaking of GIFs, the GIF I posted of Caleb Plant is tearing it up on Reddit today. So I think very interesting. It's funny to see what happens. You know, it's like, what is different about Caleb Plant than a lot of the other popular PBC fighters? And, you know, it's interesting to see that he seems to be getting such unashamed love from the sub that a lot of other PBC fighters do not get. I have to say, though, it was a great, great performance and, you know, good for him. I mean, I think it is just interesting to see they were able to get this much buzz out of a PBC on FS1 card. So that really does mean interesting things for the series going forward, because they did have a pretty clear shift. I mean, it used to be the PBC's version of Friday Night Fights. It was really just where they put lower level shows without much thought and promotion. They just, you know, say, hey, here are some, you know, fights. We need to get some wins on these guys' records. And yeah, much, much higher profile type of card. You know, we had a title fight, very good main event, and they promoted it heavily through their other Fox Sports programming. So very interesting. And, you know, another, again, interesting sign for the road ahead for PBC on Fox.
Full breakdown of the numbers from the Plant and Uzkadagui fight this past weekend on FS1, how it compares to HBO, how it compares to Showtime, historical FS1 numbers, as well as ESPN. That will be on the Patreon feed tonight. In addition to a response, or not a response, but some takes on the latest happenings at light heavyweight. We'll go a little deeper than we did today. We just kind of grazed on that. So, Tom, any last words before I hang up on you?
No, that is my last word.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening. Leave a review, a rating. That really helps out the podcast. We appreciate that.
Enjoy the fights this weekend, guys.
Yeah. Let us know if you're going to order it or not.